Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, he's back. They're back. Hope you got a tan, man. How you doing? How you feeling, Grant?
Doing very well. Enjoyed a little break, but as you mentioned, and as I'm sure you guys have been talking about, it is time for the Braves to get back to business, which means it's time for me to get back to business.
So let's talk about a couple of things. First and foremost, the return of potentially Ronald Acuña. Is there a timetable? What are you hearing? What's being said?
No exact timetable, but I would be led to believe by the comments that Walt Weiss made to us before the game that it does not sound like this weekend could occur at some point during the four games against the Padres, but he said multiple times that they have a timetable set out for him. They don't know all, he does not know the exact specifics of everything about that timetable. Some of it depends on how Ronald feels. So if he does well, he advances to this, they continue on. If there's no setbacks, then obviously that's your best case scenario. And you could have him back sooner than later. But it sounded like to me, reading the tea leaves, that it would be more likely to happen on the team's upcoming road trip than it would be on this homestand. Though Walt did say, when pressed, I wouldn't rule out seeing Acuña on this homestand.
Great to hear. I know that a couple reporters in the scrum were asking him about the future of the pitching staff, because Carl was saying maybe they just believe guys will come back and find that traction within the next 17 days. You don't have to be as aggressive looking for pitchers. But it sounds like he's lukewarm when it comes to Strider's return and maybe Schwellenbach.
Yeah, so that's the thing about this. And I know this is kind of the bigger discussion point, is what are the Braves going to do with the trade deadline? And I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I saw the post go up on social, and I said, look, I mean, I don't see any way around wanting to, or needing to, I should say, add starting pitching before the trade deadline. How many and what quality and what guys? Those are the questions we're going to be asking and finding out as we go along. But I don't really factor Spencer Strider into this season just because of what he went through already this year and the fact that he's going to be shut down for a significant amount of time and is not close to picking up a baseball. And we are moving towards August. So you just start doing the math. It just doesn't feel like there's a good window of time to allow him to get up to the level that you would need him to be to make an impact this season. Now, Schwellenbach, I'm a little bit different on, because we haven't heard anything other than he should be progressing towards a trip down to Florida to begin throwing and building up. But again, the timetable and the window of what's left this season leads you to wonder about how effective he can be, because how much time does he have? And then you kind of have to bring it all back to, at least with those two guys, what is a realistic expectation of what you can ask of guys who have missed significant time down the stretch, versus going out and trying to find veteran proven reinforcements that can help your rotation, which desperately needs guys to cover innings. I've looked at this, and I talked about this a little bit this morning with the morning shift crew. 4 2/3 innings is what the Braves starting rotation is averaging per start since June the 1st. That's the fourth lowest in baseball.
Wow.
That's simply an untenable thing moving forward. The bullpen cannot continue to cover that many innings day after day after day after day, especially without Robert Suarez right now. It has just become a very difficult situation, which leads us all back to the trade deadline. What can the Braves, what can Alex Anthopoulos do to fortify a pitching staff for a club that's sitting in first place? You cannot send that message to the clubhouse that, hey, we just didn't find anything out there. The season's not worth investing in. There's no help coming.
It's a great point. It's Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So with that said, here's the other side of that argument. If we fix the offense, doesn't that help the pitching? See, I think, Grant, there are a lot of folks who think, like, when you're throwing Grant out there or any of these guys, that they have to be perfect. Part of this is we hadn't scored runs like we were at the beginning of the season, and certainly with the injuries. So if that is somehow coming into play here and Riley gets going and Acuña's back and Kim can help, I've said to Mike, doesn't that help the pitching, or it still doesn't matter in your view? You still need to do this.
It can be part of the solution. And look, we know they've got to start scoring runs, and they have in the month of July shown some signs where, to your point, if you bring back Ronald Acuña Jr., which we anticipate being sooner than later, you still, I mean, I don't have the answers for it, but you'd have to hope and believe that Austin Riley can do something. And then what if they can find somebody on the trade deadline that helps them either solve and maybe an outfield bat that lets you DH Ronald some more, or somebody that can help you in the DH spot, which unfortunately has become another spot where Atlanta's not getting enough production right now, it can be part of the answer. But as I just laid out to you, and this is really where I come and the rubber meets the road for me as far as the trade deadline is, you've got to get more innings from your rotation. And then if you get to the playoffs, who are you starting besides Chris Sale? You have no answers for that. And that's not a knock on anybody that's doing their absolute best to try to, you know, go out there and compete on a regular basis. But the expectation of a club to go through the postseason is we've got the guys in the arms that'll get us through there. I know that we can bring up the 2021 season and a lot of the things around it and how magical many of the things were. And the trade deadline was part of that. But in 22 and in 23 and in 24, the Braves got to the postseason and didn't have enough starting pitching. And that costs them dearly, even if the offense is part of that equation. There's no two ways about that. You got to hit and you got to keep the other guys from scoring runs. And the Braves right now need a little bit of help in both categories. But I would say health-wise, the starting rotation has become the number one concern.
That's it. I mean, I like what you tweeted out, Grant. I retweeted it earlier as Grant McCauley joins us, guys, brought to you by Mark Spain, is, you know, sometimes a trade energizes a clubhouse. It doesn't have to be the big over-the-top move. I mean, believe me, I wish the Braves management would allow Alex to, you know, spend like a drunken
sailor.
And
that's part of it, sure.
But that, we saw, I mean, I know that Jock Peterson, it was a, he was just what the doctor ordered. You know, obviously Rosario eventually got on the field. He was injured at the time of the trade, and we didn't know Soler from a hole in the wall. But Jock Peterson was like an energizing force, it felt like, in 21.
Yeah, and those guys all added up to a lot for the Braves, and they caught lightning in a bottle multiple times. And that's not a realistic expectation of, hey, just go take a bunch of flyers and they'll all turn into stars and be MVPs of different postseason series. That would be beautiful. That's what makes that a special year. But kind of what I get to with this is just the overall, you know, need for this club to have, you know, the buy-in, if you will, from the front office.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
In which I believe Alex will try to go out there and find some pieces, but it will be a different kind of disappointing than what we heard last year, which I wasn't really upset with the Braves not trading Raisel Iglesias or not trading Marcell Ozuna, and they ended up bringing Iglesias back, and that was all fine, but last year was a lost year. If he's willing to go out there and do all of that work in 2021 for a season that many people look like and said was lost as soon as you lost your best player in Ronald Acuna Jr. in July, and something great can happen, why would he not say, all right, well, we've got to find some pieces and do some things to help this club that came into the second half in first place and with considerable talent on this roster already and the possibility of getting Ronald Acuna Jr. back, Sean Murphy back at some point, and some other pieces that you could get at the trade deadline that would augment and strengthen a club that is a contender. In 2021, there was a question about the Braves' ability to contend in that division, and it just kind of worked itself out. But here in 2026, they're sitting in first place, so you owe it to yourself to keep it that way and to do the things you can to get a chance to get into the postseason, because I hate to be the reminder of this, but it's my sport and my business.
Yeah.
We don't know what 2027 is going to look like if there is a 2027 to speak of.
Yeah, that's been the other part of this conversation. I'm all in now. I do not care about next year. And, you know, if that's the situation, we do not know if we'll be here in the sitting in first place next year after the All-Star break. Grant McCauley joining us, guys. As we talk about Austin Riley, I know you've been out. Are you hearing what he might have done during this break, this little getaway? Did he completely chill? I don't know, Grant. Are you hearing anything?
No, and I didn't really, you know, ask him anything about it today. I saw him briefly, but it just kind of felt like, let's see what happens after the All-Star break, because hopefully it was at least a mental and physical break for him, because I know he's been doing the work. That's not a question about, has he been in the cage? Has he been talking with people? Has he been working on things? Maybe it's as simple as needing to uncomplicate some stuff for him, to take a step back from it, to not have the game to be preoccupied by for a few days, could just be that nice mental break. And I think a lot of people, at least from the crowdsourcing I'm able to do on social media, wanted to see Austin Riley get a break, and he got a break. So what's the second half going to look like? Is he going to be able to maybe just find some consistency, work his way in here, and start being part of the solution offensively? that would be wonderful. But this has obviously been the most challenging stretch of his career since the second half of his rookie season. And this is a guy that's done a lot since 2019, and the Braves need him to do a lot for the rest of the season and beyond.
Right. With him and Kim, you know, $40 million invested on the left side of the infield. You're just not getting that return. Meanwhile, no. And Grant, I know you've seen Owen Murphy pitch. What's he about? I missed out. I missed his first run on vacay, but what do you expect from him against the Rangers this weekend?
Yeah, I'm interested to see. You know, it's just one of those things where this is a promotion that's built on two things, talent, arm talent, and necessity, because the Braves simply need guys to step into the rotation. And they're trying to do some things, I think, that are kind of reminiscent of what we saw with Hurston Waldrop last year. That was a necessity call-up. They caught lightning in a bottle, to use that phrase again. And he was terrific for him down the stretch. Can they get something like that out of Richie or Owen Murphy or somebody that can step into the rotation and help you out from the minor leagues? Maybe. We'll see. But there's too many maybes, I think, in the equation for the Braves rotation now to make you comfortable about what exactly is going on with respect to the deadline. But could Murphy show the Braves a little something and help them out in the short term over the next 17 days, of which they will play 17 games leading up to the deadline? You'd love to see it, and hopefully he'll be able to pass that test against the Rangers on Saturday in his first big league start. He's only pitched the one time. Right. It was in relief. Not exactly the greatest, I think, scenario to throw a rookie pitcher into, but sometimes, again, it comes down to necessity, and the Braves have been using that word, I feel like, a lot, at least I have, around the Braves pitching staff here over the last month or so.
Hey, real quick, we didn't get to catch up with you earlier in the week. What'd you think of the All-Star weekend? I mean, I know I was a little disappointed the Home Run Derby was on Netflix, and good pitching beats good hitting, but what'd you think about what happened up in Philly?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the game was an all-time classic. It was kind of over after the first few runs were scored in the top of the first inning against Christopher Sanchez. I saw the Philly fans were blaming Drake Baldwin for that, so that was fun.
Philly fans were
certainly vocal during the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, for that matter. Yeah. But I love the reformatted Home Run Derby. I thought the Jordan Walker win was awesome. I thought all the guys that competed, it was a lot of fun. I thought whoever directed that game or that broadcast for Netflix had never directed a baseball broadcast before, because that was abysmal. Yes. Hopefully they sort that out. But otherwise, you know, it was a much-needed change for the Derby itself. For the event itself, you know, all jokes aside, I think that was a good change. I know it didn't get good viewership, and Netflix is something that not everybody's sold on, but they're going to be getting more and more and more, it seems like, moving forward. It was at least an improvement on the Derby, and you didn't have to watch guys just swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging against the clock and just not be able to enjoy it and, you know, just run the risk of somebody getting hurt at some point.
Great stuff. Grant, when are you on this weekend?
I'll be on this weekend, Sunday. We're going to do the late shift. We're going to do 9 to 11. Braves will close out their series with the Rangers. I'll be wrapping up the draft, so a very big week for the Braves beyond the All-Star game itself. They drafted a new crop, had a very, very interesting draft strategy. We'll get into all of that. And, of course, be sizing up the trade deadline, because it'll be here before you know it. That's From the Diamond, Sunday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, on the Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Grant McCauley. A lot of questions, guys. All of this will get answered in due time. All right, in due time.
17 days before the trade deadline. So, but again, we don't operate in a vacuum. Other teams will be making some moves.
All right, Mike, we got a bunch of stuff going on. Two guys literally did something that we haven't seen today, and it's being overshadowed by a judgment, a ruling today that has a lot of people scratching their heads.
Did he cheat?
I don't think so. But that's me. We'll tell you about this when we come back. Also, Atlanta United in action tonight against Nashville. 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock kick, as Mike Conte and Jason Longshore are there bringing you all of the action. Yes, they are back at it before the end of the World Cup. And speaking of the World Cup, what's going to happen this weekend? Stukes and Bell.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.